Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now, all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
Did you know that through 3 weeks, we've had about the same number of dynamic kickoffs as last season, 481 this year versus 472 last. But the return rate has more than doubled, from 30.5% in 2024 to 79.2% this year. Okay, we hear that in the broadcast, but what is the impact so far? Average starting field position, it's about the same, the 29.5 yard line versus the 29.6 yard line last year. But we've seen increases in points per drive, scoring drive percentage, and touchdown drive percentage league-wide on drives after receiving a dynamic kickoff. This is the numbers game. I'm Cynthia Freeland, and we get to start the Sunday slate in Dublin, Ireland with the Vikings and Steelers. Jackson Dart makes his starting quarterback debut in New York City. We get Patrick Mahomes hosting Lamar Jackson in a matchup at Arrowhead where both teams are somehow 1-2, what? And the day finishes with Micah Parsons' return to Dallas to face the team that traded him away. It is time to go through every week 4 Sunday game. Let's get to it. We have 13 games to go through in this episode, which means we'll cover the entire Sunday slate of week 4 games, and we'll leave the Monday nighters, there are 2 of them this week, for their own separate show to go deeper into both of those matchups. It will be in your feed shortly, which is why you should probably subscribe, like, leave some comments, do all of the things to grow our community. I really appreciate it. Before we jump in, let's do some accounting. My week 3 results were 8-8 straight up, 9-7 against the spread, and 11-5 on total. So that brings my season averages to 64.6% straight up, 51% against the spread, and 52.1% on totals. Make sure to set your alarm early. It is actually the first regular season game played in Dublin between the Minnesota Vikings and the Pittsburgh Steelers. There has been one preseason game played there before, but this is the first official NFL game, and it's going to be a good one. Minnesota's favored by 2.5 points. The total is 41 points. When the Vikings run the ball, well, of course, it's going to be with Jordan Mason, who takes over after Aaron Jones' injury. He leads the Vikings with 214 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. Both of those touchdowns were earned last week against Cincinnati. Again, that's his first start of the season. He also had 116 rushing yards against the Bengals. Mason has an average of 94.3 rushing yards per game as a starter since the beginning of last season, which is the 4th most in the NFL. And remember, he started 6 games last year for the Niners with Christian McCaffrey injured. In terms of the Steelers defending the run, they're actually tied for the most missed tackles on run plays in the league right now with 28. But it breaks down like this. 22 of those happened in weeks 1 and 2, and they had just 6 against New England. So perhaps they're starting to address that issue, but it's still unclear because there were a lot of turnovers in that Patriots game. When the Vikings pass the ball, perhaps intermediate passes are the ticket. Carson Wentz went 5 of 9 for 99 yards on such passes against the Bengals. Now, overall, the Steelers' pass defense ranks 5th most generous in completion percentage, so 71.7% of the time they are allowing passes to be completed. And at the intermediate level specifically, they are a little better. They rank 21st at 59.1%. TJ Watt had two sacks last week and forced a fumble against the Patriots, and it snapped a career-long streak of six games without a sack. He actually leads the NFL with 110 sacks since being drafted in 2017. When Pittsburgh runs the ball, well, it's Jaylen Warren, who actually leads the Steelers in both rushing yards with 132 and receiving yards with 142. His 274 scrimmage yards are eighth most at his position this season, and he's accounted for 69.8, so 70% of Pittsburgh's rushing yards overall, which is the third highest share in the NFL. He has 157 yards after the catch, which is also third most in the NFL. Minnesota's run defense gets the whole team involved. Seven defenders have at least eight run tackles, and Ivan Pace and Jonathan Allen, they've combined for 30. 11 different defenders have at least notched one run stuff as well. When Pittsburgh's offense attempts to pass the ball, it's likely going to be short passes. Well, Aaron Rodgers is not even trying to pass deep so far, but he's very efficient on short passes. He's attempted just 7% of his passes to that level of 20-plus air yards this season. That's ninth lowest in the league, and he's one of six for 22 yards and an interception. His passer rating on deep passes is 2.8. However, he leads the NFL with a 120.2 passer rating on passes under 10 air yards. And he's doing it the most often. 31.4% of his attempts are behind the line of scrimmage. That is highest in the NFL. 73% of the Steelers' passing yards are after the catch, also highest in the NFL, and that makes a lot of sense. But how does that match up against Minnesota's pass defense? Well, they've allowed 225 yards after the catch. That's third fewest. And we always need to talk about the blitz when we talk about the Vikings. They are blitzing on 38% of dropbacks, the sixth highest rate in the NFL, and allowing just 4.2 yards per attempt when blitzing. That is fourth best, so fourth lowest in the NFL. Rodgers, overall, is two touchdowns and a 107.5 passer rating, no interceptions against the blitz this season. However, let's go dial back to more history here. Since hiring Brian Flores as a defensive coordinator in 2023, Minnesota leads the NFL with a 45.4 blitz percentage and seven defensive touchdowns, also tied for the most in the league. And Rodgers historically has a 5.7 passing yard per attempt average against the blitz since the beginning of last season, and that is the lowest in the NFL. Just so we're clear, it is not necessarily happening this year so far for Rodgers. He has been good against the blitz, but dialing it back to last season, not so good. So we're going to have to see where that one nets out. Bottom line in this one, I have Minnesota winning 22-21, just 1 point, but it keeps their streak of international wins alive. They're currently 4-0, and I project them to move to 5-0. Why? The key is the pressure that the Vikings defense is able to generate. Not just blitzing, but pressure. This season, they have the seventh highest pressure rate, so 41.8, about 42%. And they've allowed the second fewest EPA per dropback when pressuring. It's negative 0.79 points. And Aaron Rodgers, he has the lowest completion percentage in the league this season when under pressure. It's 25%. He's averaging 4.2 yards per pass under pressure. That ranks 31st. And he has the 32nd among 34 qualified quarterbacks EPA per dropback, so it's not great. And he's been sacked on 26% of pressure dropbacks this season. That is the fifth highest rate. I love to have things to track in single window games. That's what we call it in TV, single window games, just one game on at a time. And Ireland is overall awesome. So let's celebrate it with a round of good for six. Six quick stats related to the Vikings and Steelers in order of increasing risk. So the first is the least risky and sixth is the most risky. Number one, Jordan Mason to rush for more than 82.5 yards. I already told you about his 94.3 rushing yard per game average since becoming the starter. I just think that this is how Kevin O'Connell operates his offense. Number two, Jaylen Warren to earn more than 57.5 on the ground. I have him forecast for 68. Number three, DK Metcalf to have more than 3.5 receptions. Right now he's tracking at 10 receptions, 135 yards, and two touchdowns, which is his fewest in terms of receptions over the first 3 weeks of a season since his rookie season where he had 9. I think that number forecast to go up. They may not be on deep passes, but it's all about the number of receptions being more than 3.5. Number four, Justin Jefferson to haul in more than 5.5 passes. Right now, he leads the Vikings still with 12 receptions and 200 receiving yards, but he's had fewer than 6 receptions in each of the 3 games so far this season, which is the most such consecutive games in his career. He's averaging a career low 4 grabs per game, a career high 16.7 yards per reception, Why am I saying at least six in this one? It's targeting that Pittsburgh Steelers leaky pass defense. Number five, welcome back Jordan Addison. My model says he's going to have more than 42.5 receiving yards in his return. Carson Wentz will likely see more separation on passes to both the wideout one and the wideout two because of the both of them being out there together. And number six, a Justin Jefferson touchdown. Well, one, we need the gritty in Ireland. It's just a thing. But when you look at the matchup between Jefferson and Ramsey, they've faced off one time before, and Ramsey did hold him to 4 receptions and 40 yards on 6 targets. However, Ramsey this season has allowed 6 receptions for 112 yards and 2 touchdowns with just 1 interception, and that's off 7 targets in man coverage so far this season. So in my opinion, that is advantage to Justin Jefferson. I think we see him in the end zone. Let's try something a little bit quicker here. 2 games, 4 minutes total. I'm putting myself on the clock for the 4-minute offense. Don't worry, I'll talk about defense and give 1 actionable note per game, but it's a good theme, right? Let's start the clock now. Game 1, New Orleans at Buffalo. Well, this is the first time in 5 seasons that a 3-0 team will face an 0-3 team. Here, the host Bills are favored by 16.5 points, and the total is 47.5 points. Starting with the Saints, Alvin Kamara has faced a last-ranked rush defense once in his career. It was actually last season against Carolina, where he tied a career high with 155 rushing yards. The Bills' defense has allowed 156 rushing yards per game and a 6.2 yard per carry average. Both are the most, aka last, in the NFL. As for Buffalo, Josh Allen has a 74.6 completion rate against zone coverage this season. That is 6th highest in the NFL. His 104.4 passer rating ranks 7th best. And New Orleans defense has played zone at the 6th highest rate over 82% of the time. Final result, Bills win it 32-16. The action item is about Khalil Shakir here, who's in a great spot. Why? Because he's been targeted on 31% of routes against zone coverage since the beginning of last season. That is the 3rd highest rate in the league. He has a 0.38 EPA per target against zone, again, over that same time period. That's 9th highest. And his 8 yards of yak per reception against zone, that is actually 2nd highest. So what about the Saints? Well, they've allowed 5 yards of yak per reception.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Exception 2 wide receivers in zone coverage this season, 6th most in the NFL. Game number 2, Cleveland at Detroit, where the home team is favored by 9 points and the total is 44.5 points. The Browns' note is all about their defense, their number 1 ranked defense, in fact. They've allowed just 57.3 rushing yards per game, that is the fewest in the league, and they're the only team to not have allowed a run of 12 plus yards yet. The Browns have allowed 7 rushing first downs total, again, also fewest in the NFL. So it's going to be hard to run on the Browns. No player on that defense is harder to manage, though, than Myles Garrett, who leads the NFL with 7 tackles for loss. He has 4 sacks this season. That's tied for 2nd. And fun fact, the Lions are actually one of 2 teams that Myles Garrett has faced multiple times in his career and does not have a sack against yet. The other one's the Saints, just so you know. On the Lions side of things, Jared Goff has faced a number 1 total defense entering a week twice in his career, and he's 2-0. But I really want to talk about the Lions defense here. They have a 39.2 blitz rate, 5th highest in the NFL, and Joe Flacco's averaging just 3 yards per pass against the blitz. That's 2nd fewest in the league. He also has a negative 13% completion percentage over expected when teams have blitzed him so far this season. That is 5th lowest in the league. And because the Lions and Browns are actually tied for the 3rd most sacks in the league, both have 11. It feels like we need to add the Aiden Hutchinson stat here. He has 14.5 sacks in his last 10 games played, which is the most by any Lions player in a 10-game span since we first started tracking this in 1982. Final result, my model says Lions win by 10, 26-16. The action item here is about Cedric Tillman. Look for him to have more than 3.5 receptions, which is a little risky because he's only had more than 3 once, and that was back in week 1. But the Lions defense not only gives up a 119.1 passer rating, which ranks 30th, and that's on all passes. But if you drill it down into intermediate passes, they're the most generous defense in passer rating. So 156.3, that's what they've allowed. And a 75% completion percentage to this level. If you wanted to be extra risky, you could say Jerry Jeudy, but I like to say Cedric Tillman more than 3.5 receptions. Of the 13 games in this Week 4 Sunday slate episode, I have a total of 4 where a team is forecast to win by more than their number. The Lions are 1, but let's cover the other 3. See what I did there? Tennessee at Houston is a matchup between 2 of the 6 winless teams. Both teams rank in the bottom 5 in points per game, total yards per game, third down percentage, first downs per game, and each team has just 3 touchdowns, which makes them tied for fewest. The home team Texans are favored by 7, and the total in this one is 39. The Titans are averaging just 3.6 yards per play. That is last in the NFL. If it were to hold for the rest of the season, it would be the lowest by any team in a single season since at least 2000. It won't likely hold, but just to give you some context for that number. The circumstances have been tough in Cam Ward's first 3 starts as well. He's taken 15 sacks. That's most in the NFL right now. And among all first overall picks in the common draft era, he now ranks 3rd in his first career start. So David Carr was sacked 19 times, Kyler Murray 16, and now Cam Ward, he ranks 3rd with 15. He also has just a 27.6 completion percentage on downfield passes. That is the lowest among all qualified quarterbacks. Things have been very tough on Houston's side of things as well. They are one of 2 teams in the last 20 seasons to have 0 red zone touchdowns through their first 3 games. The 2011 Jags were the other team. So let's look at the pressure matchup between the Titans defense and the Texans O-line, because something has to give here. The Texans have allowed a 36.4 pressure rate this season on their quarterback. That ranks 18th. The Titans, they have just a 21.3 pressure rate. That's 6th lowest. Maybe the better question is, who will be less bad in the trenches, and will CJ Stroud have time to throw deep to target a vulnerable area of the Titans defense, who's allowed the 9th highest completion percentage on deep passes, 41%. They've allowed a positive 9% completion percentage over expected on such passes. Again, that's also 9th highest. And CJ Stroud wants to throw the deep ball. He's attempted a deep pass on 12.4% of his attempts this season. That's the 8th highest rate in the league. And he has 2 deep passing touchdowns. So that's tied for 3rd most. In the end, I have Houston winning this one 24-16. Fun fact here, rookie quarterbacks are 2-7 as the starter against D'Amico Ryans when he's either been the head coach or the defensive coordinator. The Commanders travel to Atlanta to take on the Falcons in a game that is meant to be close. The road team Washington is favored by 1.5 points. The total in this one is 45 points. The note on Washington is about their defense. Their defense that has the highest quarterback pressure rate this season, 50.4. Only 2 teams are over 50%. The other one's Denver. And when they've been getting pressure on quarterbacks, it's been great. They've allowed just a 36.4 completion percentage, 2nd lowest. And the 3rd lowest dropback success rate is 23%. And Michael Penix, he has a league low negative 16 completion percentage over expected when pressured this season. Negative is not good here. Washington, though, is one of 3 defenses without a takeaway this season. Miami and the Jets are the other 2. And this is the first time since 1938 that they've had 0 takeaways in their first 3 games of a season. That is a wild stat. Washington's offense is averaging 5.8 yards per play. That's 6th best in the NFL. And they've had 2 different starting quarterbacks, which is wild. They've rushed for more than 200 yards in 2 of their 3 outings. They're the only team to do so. They have 7 players with at least 35 rushing yards. No other team has more than 5. But one note here, the Falcons have allowed just 131 passing yards per game. That's fewest in the NFL. So some of this run game diversity and some of the trick plays, the things we know they can do to get players open in space, that's going to be a key in this matchup. Atlanta's defense has blitzed on 45% of opponent dropbacks. That's the highest rate in the NFL. And Jaden Daniels has a 58.4 passer rating against the blitz this season. That is 3rd lowest in the NFL. Evaluating the Falcons offense must include a look at how Michael Penix Jr. is tracking so far this season. First, the bad news. He's one of 3 quarterbacks to make at least 1 start and not throw multiple passing touchdowns. He has a 39.7 passer rating against man coverage in his career, a short career, but it is still the lowest in the NFL among guys who've taken 25 attempts over that time. The Commanders play the 6th most man, 36.3% of the time. Now, the good news. He's tied for the 10th most downfield pass attempts, 35, and the Commanders have allowed the second most passing yards, 500, on downfield throws. Only Dallas has allowed more yards on such throws. One strength-on-strength matchup to watch in this game is Deebo Samuel against the Atlanta defense. Deebo has 106 receiving yards after the catch. That's sixth best at the wide receiver position, and Atlanta has allowed the fewest yards after the catch, 178. Final score, I have Washington winning this one 25-21. Let's give defensive end Dorrance Armstrong some love. He has 18 pressures this season. That's tied for third most. And Michael Penix Jr. has gone just 3 of 13 for 38 yards under pressure over the past two games. In this next game, the storyline is great. Micah Parsons returning to Dallas. There's lots of drama, but the projection here is a little more lopsided. Of course, I'm talking about when the Packers head to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Green Bay is favored by a full touchdown. The total in this one is 47.5 points. Fun fact, because we love storylines, Micah Parsons will face the Cowboys 31 days after being traded by them. The only traded player since 1995 to be an All-Pro with a team and face that team in fewer days was the Hall of Famer Randy Moss, who faced New England 25 days after being traded to Minnesota in 2010. Love the drama here. Packers quarterback Jordan Love is averaging 9.9 yards per attempt against zone coverage this season. That leads the NFL. And the Cowboys defense, they're probably going to play zone. They've done it on 93.4% of dropbacks. That is the highest in the NFL by kind of a lot. Love has a 129.3 passer rating against the blitz this season. That's third best. And the Cowboys defense has allowed an NFL worst 158 passer rating when blitzing. Dak Prescott has thrown into a tight window, so less than 1 yard of separation, on 21.4% of his passes this season, the highest rate in the NFL. That continues a multi-year trend. He led the league in 2024, 2022. He ranked fourth in 2023. He's completed 11 of 27 tight window passes for 109 yards with one touchdown and one interception on them this season. However, with no CeeDee Lamb, this will be much trickier. The strength-on-strength matchup to watch here, something has got to give here, is between Javonte Williams' rushing yards after contact and the Packers' ability to stop them. Javonte Williams is averaging 4.6 yards after contact per rush this season. That's third best in the NFL. But the Packers, they've allowed the fourth fewest such yards, just 170 total rushing yards after contact. Final score, I have the Packers winning this one 28-20. Green Bay's Rashawn Gary leads the NFL with 4.5 sacks this season. And Gary actually has more sacks than the entire Cowboys defense combined. They only have 4. I meant what I said about loving to track stats for single window games. So here are 3 Sunday snacks to look at in that Packers and Cowboys tilt in order of least to most risky, obviously. Number 1, Jordan Love to pass for more than 228.5 yards. I have him over 250, and a lot of that has to do with the zone and blitz advantages we already outlined over this Dallas defense. You could also add Josh Jacobs scoring a touchdown to make this a co-number 1 for least risky stats to track. Number 2, Matthew Golden to catch more than 2.5 passes. I know Tucker Kraft isn't in question for this one, but sheesh, that number is low. Golden went 4 of 52 against Cleveland and their missing pass catchers, and this is a plus matchup for the Packers passing offense as a whole. Rising tides lift all ships situation, and last week he was good to us, so we're going back to the Matthew Golden well. Number 3, Javonte Williams to rush for more than 51.5 yards. This is risky because I have the Packers playing with a lead, so Williams' rushing yards seems contrarian to my game script. And I mentioned how Green Bay limits rushing yards after contact. Remember, they're fourth best in the league. But the number is too low for the early down usage plus his yak per rush, which is 4.6. Again, that's third best. So he just got dinged too far, over 51.5. There are 9 total interconference matchups on Sunday. We have hit 4 of them. So let's round out the other 5. And by the way, I looked it up because I wasn't sure if it was intra or inter. It is interconference. Taking a trip to Gillette Stadium where the Panthers come to town, New England is favored by 5.5 points. The total in this one, 43.5. Right now, Bryce Young has the lowest passer rating on downfield throws. He has a 35 passer rating on those 10 plus air yarders. However, he's been good against man. No interceptions and a 113.5 passer rating against man coverage this season. This is interesting because we know the Pats like to play man, and they've allowed 4 passing touchdowns in such coverage. That is tied for the fourth most in the league. Will Christian Gonzalez be back? That would change things. The Panthers' interior O-line has allowed a pressure rate of just 4.5%. That is sixth lowest in the league. And their center, Austin Corbett, he's allowed just one measly pressure on 87 pass-blocking snaps this season, the second lowest pressure rate at the position. This week will be a tough test because they get Milton Williams, who's generated the third most pressures, 11, and Christian Barmore, who's tied for the fourth most at 10. Now, those are among interior defensive tackles, of course. They're actually the only interior defensive line duo who are both ranked in the top 7 in pressures. Drake May has 624 yards against zone coverage this season. That is second most in the league. He has the fourth highest dropback success rate against it, 52%. And if you're drilling down into kind of which types of zone does he fare best against, well, cover three stands out because he leads the NFL with 358 passing yards against it. And Carolina, well, they use zone coverage at the third highest rate, 86% of the time overall, and cover three specifically at also the third highest rate, 46%. Now, New England, their penalty situation is real. They've had 27 penalties in three games, and they had 13 penalties in their first three games last season. So that is something they will be looking to clean up going forward. Bottom line, I have the Patriots winning this one 24-21. Drake May has a 78.9 completion percentage this season when not under pressure. That ranks seventh best. And the Panthers defense, they're only generating pressure on 24.3% of their dropbacks. That's 30th in the NFL. Advantage May. The Jags travel to the Bay Area to take on the Niners. The Niners, who are one of just two teams since 2020 to start a season 3-0, despite averaging fewer than 20 points per game. They're averaging 19.7 right now. San Francisco is favored by a field goal, and the total in this one is 47 points. Jacksonville's defense leads the NFL with 9 takeaways this season. They were last in this metric last year. They had 9 total takeaways in all of 2024. The takeaways are trending in the right direction, but the giveaways, they're still a problem. Trevor Lawrence has one or more interception in 6 straight games. That is the longest active streak. He has 72 career giveaways. That is the most since 2021. And all 4 of his interceptions this season have come when teams have not blitzed him. He's averaging 5.5 yards per pass against no blitz this season. That is 6th fewest. And San Francisco, they really aren't blitzing. So they have the 9th lowest blitz rate, 23%. And they've allowed the 6th lowest dropback success rate without using the blitz. It's just 37.5%. I hope you're sitting down for this next one because I find it to be crazy. The Niners are the only team without a rushing touchdown yet this season. They're 3-0. They have Christian McCaffrey. How is this possible? Ricky Pearsall, though, leads the NFL with 264 receiving yards on downfield targets. His 93 receiving yards over expected on such targets are 24 more than any other player. And this is a plus matchup for him. Why? Jags corner Tyson Campbell has allowed the 6th most receiving yards of any player on downfield throws this season. And he's one of 9 corners who've allowed multiple downfield touchdowns. Final score. Even with all of the Niners' injuries, my model picks them to win 23-21. I do want to, you know, pour a little one out for Nick Bosa and his effect on pressure. The Niners have pressured opponents on 39% of plays. That ranks top 10 in the NFL when he's been on the field, and just 31%, which ranks in the bottom 10 in the NFL when he's been off the field. So they will sorely miss Nick Bosa. The Chargers make the trip out east to MetLife Stadium to face the Jackson Dart-led New York Giants. Chargers are favored by 6.5 points, and the total in this one is 44. The Chargers are 3-0 for the first time since 2002. Justin Herbert leads the NFL with 860 passing yards this season. He's doing it despite being pressured 52 times, which is tied for second most. He joins the Hall of Famer Dan Fouts as the only Chargers quarterback to start a season 3-0 with at least 800 passing yards through the team's first 3 games. And I just had to add this one there because I got a chance to work with Dan Fouts at the Hall of Fame this past summer, and he is awesome. Love the guy. If I didn't love watching him play, like, I love him even more as a human. Awesome dude. The Giants are just 1-9 at home since the beginning of last season, and they've only thrown a total of 7 passing touchdowns over those last 10 home games. That's the lowest number in the NFL. It is now Jackson Dart time. Let's see what he can do. It is a tough matchup, though, because the Chargers are allowing just a 20% completion percentage on downfield throws. That is the lowest, most stingy rate in the NFL. And Giant rookie quarterbacks are 1-5 in their first career starts over the last 40 seasons. Daniel Jones has the only win. Rookie quarterbacks are also 2-8 in 10 career starts against Jim Harbaugh-coached teams. Remember, he really emphasizes defense. The other matchup to watch, other than how Jackson Dart fares, is can the Chargers capitalize on an advantage in the run game? The Chargers have rushed their running backs towards the strength of the formation about 60% of the time, the fifth highest rate in the NFL. But they've struggled on such runs, only 3.6 yards per carry, eighth fewest, and just 0.3 yards before contact per rush, that's sixth fewest. However, the Giants have been weak defending such running back runs. They've allowed 1.9 rushing yards over expected per carry, third most in the NFL, and the fourth most yak per rush. So 5.1 yards after contact per rush to the strong side. Bottom line in this one, I have the Chargers winning 24-19, not because of a bad Jackson Dart outing, but because of a very stingy Chargers pass defense. The Bears travel to Vegas as 1-point favorites in a game where the total is projected at 48 points. Caleb Williams has a 107.6 passer rating this season, up from 87.8 last. That's the third highest passer rating by a Bears quarterback through three games in the Super Bowl era. He has 5 passing touchdowns, no interceptions, and a 112.8 passer rating on throws in the pocket. So keep him in the pocket. He does really well. That 112.8 passer rating in the pocket, that's third best in the league. Geno Smith has been sacked 12 times this season, which is tied for the second most. He's been pressured at the fourth highest rate, just over 42%. He has the longest time to throw. It's been 3.2 seconds. And if that held for the whole season, it would be the third highest for any season in a next-gen stats era. But the Bears defense, well, they're only pressuring their opponents on 25% of dropbacks. That's the fourth lowest rate in the league. And they only get pressure on 22% of the dropbacks when they blitz. That's the second worst rate. Final score, the upset in Las Vegas, 24-23 in favor of the home team. It is Vegas's ability to control the ball that drives predicting this upset. Ashton Jeanty, 34% of his carries have resulted in no gain or loss of yards. That's the highest percentage of any running back with at least 30 carries. But the Bears, they're allowing 139.3 rushing yards per game, tied for 26th, and 5.5 yards per carry, that is 31st. This is probably the Jeanty, at least yardage-wise, Jeanty breakout moment. The last of these AFC versus NFC matchups for week 4 could end up being the best game of the day. It's Colts at Rams. The home team Rams are favored by 3.5 points. The total in this one is 49.5. So there's some hero stats that we should mention first, because they're pretty massive. As in, Colts running back Jonathan Taylor leads the NFL with 338 rushing yards. While the Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua, he leads the league with 333 receiving yards. The Colts have allowed the fewest sacks, just 2, on their quarterback Daniel Jones. The Rams defense has 12 sacks. That's tied for the most generated. Okay. Now for the individual team breakdowns. Daniel Jones has been jockeying with Lamar Jackson for first or second in yards per attempt for the past 3 weeks. He's averaging 9.3. He actually leads the league with a 61% dropback success rate, despite being blitzed on a league-high 48% of dropbacks. He has a 62.8 completion percentage, 9.7 yards per attempt, and a touchdown against the blitz this season. Jonathan Taylor has earned his rushing title so far by also leading the NFL in rushing yards after contact, rushing yards after forcing missed tackle, and forced missed tackles on run plays. Taylor and smart early downs have afforded the Colts the lowest yards to go on third down this season. On the Rams side, right guard Kevin Dotson was injured in week 3. Stafford was pressured on 55% of dropbacks without him on the field versus sub 30% when he was there. The difference between the Rams' defensive pressure rate when they blitz, 66%, and when they don't blitz, 36%, is the second largest gap in the league. They've pressured opponents on 44% of dropbacks, that's fifth in the NFL, and sacked opponents on 11% of dropbacks, third best in the NFL. However, they've allowed 9.9 yards per pass attempt when blitzing, that's the fourth most. Will the blitz work against Daniel Jones is the question. My model forecasts the upset. Colts win 25-24. Why? Well, it's because of the Colts' defense, specifically the Colts' defending play action passes. Stafford has used play action on 39% of his dropbacks this season, second highest rate in the league. And he has 369 passing yards when using it, again, second most in the NFL. Makes sense. He also has 4 passing touchdowns using play action. That's the most in the NFL. Do you get it? He's really good at play action. However, the Colts have allowed the 9th fewest passing yards against play action this season, just 112, and the 6th lowest dropback success rate against it. It's sub 37%. And just to look at the intermediate passing specifically, the Colts are allowing a 6.4 passer rating to intermediate passes. That is the best in the league by, yeah, a lot. 6.4 is tiny. When you throw the ball into the ground, you get a 39.6 passer rating for context. We now have enough games covered to do weekly wild cards, our list of 5 forecast touchdown scorers that could be considered underrated, but not to us. These are guys who you didn't draft in the top rounds of your fantasy draft. They aren't the top few in terms of touchdown scores on the season. These are guys who have elevated end zone reaching odds this week. Number 1, Rams receiver Devontae Adams against the Colts. No, he will absolutely not be eligible for this list much longer, so I'm taking him now and being smart. I told you the Colts are great against the pass, but Adams one-on-one is a mismatch pretty much no matter what, and especially here. Number 2, Raiders receiver Jacoby Myers versus the Bears. Yes, I saw Trey Tucker haul in 3 against off coverage last week, but the Bears pressure less than the Commanders, and they play off coverage less often. Tracking where the Raiders could exploit Jalen Johnson being missing elevates Myers' end zone reaching odds. Doesn't mean Trey Tucker won't either. Number 3, Lions wideout Jamison Williams against the Browns. He needs very few targets to make good on this projection because he's dynamic, because he's speedy, because he is the deep passing threat, and targeting the Browns through the air is a better value proposition than on the ground where, remember, they are best in the league. Number 4, Pats rookie back Travion Henderson against the Panthers. Those turnovers last week were really hard to watch, which helps predict Josh McDaniels to draw up higher probability plays, perhaps to Henderson. While the Panthers' run defense looked exceptional against the Falcons, it's hard to argue that it's completely fixed from what was going on in weeks 1 and 2. I think McDaniels will find ways to get Henderson going. And number 5, Giants rookie running back Cam Scataboo against the Chargers. This one's about volume plus forcing missed tackles. So volume is up, no Tyrone Tracy, unfortunately, and also having a new quarterback to help out, likely forecast for more rushing plays, so more volume for Scataboo, and he's great at forcing missed tackles, which is a nice predictor of yards. Yards will therefore hopefully turn into touchdowns in this one. I wanted to put Emeka Egbuka in the weekly wild cards, but it felt like cheating because he already has 3 touchdowns in 3 games played, but I do have him forecast to score, which brings us to Philadelphia at Tampa Bay. The Eagles and Bucks are 2 of the 3 undefeated NFC teams entering week 4. This is the first matchup between 3-0 teams since week 4 of 2021. That's a pretty fun stat. The Eagles are favored by 3.5 points, and the total in this one is 43.5. 42.4% of the Eagles' rushes have come from the shotgun alignment this season. That's the 12th highest rate in the league. They're earning 1.01 rushing yard over expected per shotgun rush. That's 6th best. And their 3 rushing touchdowns from this alignment rank 2nd most in the league. Now, Tampa, Todd Bowles, we think Todd Bowles is great at stopping the run. He is historically. However, shotgun rushes, interesting. They've allowed the 6th most EPA per shotgun rush this season, and that is not a Todd Bowles-like thing. So perhaps it will change, but in this matchup, it still forecasts to be advantage Eagles. Over 5 meetings, Todd Bowles has blitzed Jalen Hurts on 47% of his dropbacks. Hurts had a 56% completion percentage, 4 passing touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and a 69.3 passer rating against this blitz, compared to a 62% completion percentage, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, and a 74.9 passer rating against the non-blitz. It is actually not that different. No Mike Evans in this matchup, so what does that mean for Baker Mayfield? Well, looking at last season, when Evans and Mayfield were together for 14 games, Mayfield averaged 273.5 passing yards per game, 8.4 per attempt, 34 touchdowns to just 14 interceptions, and a 109.3 passer rating. Without Evans for three games, 215.3 passing yards, minus 60, 5.8 yards per attempt, six touchdowns with two interceptions, and a 96.2 passer rating. Hopefully the Bucs get Tristan Wirfs back, which would be great because last season he had PFF's best pass blocking grade, so very helpful for Baker Mayfield. And Philadelphia, though, they haven't really been generating sacks. They only have three defensive sacks. That's third fewest in the league. Final score, Eagles keep it perfect, 24-22. The Eagles have won 19 of their last 20 games. That includes the playoffs, so this would move them to 20 wins in 21 tries. The return of the Eagles' passing offense is the difference maker. In the second half against the Rams, on passes of over 10 air yards, they went 7 of 9 for 154 yards and two touchdowns. Over the first 10 quarters of the season, they were 2 of 7 on such passes. Which brings us to the last game of the show, the big one. The battle of surprise 1-2 teams. Winner moves to 500. Loser goes to bed 1-3. It is Baltimore at Kansas City. The Ravens are favored on the road by 2.5 points, and the total in this one, 48.5. Two fun notes to start on Jackson and Mahomes. Mahomes is averaging more rushing yards per game at 41.7 than Jackson at 39.3. And Jackson has averaged as many passing touchdowns per game, three, as Mahomes has total, again, three. Let's start with Ravens run game notes. Now, they've had fewer than 100 rushing yards in two straight games. This is the first time this has happened in Lamar Jackson's tenure. He became the starter in week 11 of 2018. Derrick Henry has faced a light box half as often this season, just sub 15%. Last year was almost 30%. And he's getting stuffed more and forcing fewer missed tackles. Overall, though, the Ravens have recorded a 20.3 explosive run rate this season. They are the only team over 16%. Lamar Jackson leads the NFL with 8 explosive runs, and Derrick Henry has added 6, and that makes him tied for fourth most among running backs. The Ravens' passing game, well, this note is all about the blitz. Lamar Jackson has 6 passing touchdowns against it. That leads the NFL. He also leads the league with a 0.7 EPA per dropback and a 60.5 dropback success rate against the blitz this season. Kansas City, they're blitzing at the 8th highest rate, almost 37%. They have the 4th highest blitz rate on early downs this season, 40%. And they have the largest decrease in pressure rate when blitzing this season. It goes down almost 8 percentage points. So it's 39.4 without the blitz, 31.6 with the blitz. Baltimore's defense, though, is the NFL's worst total defense, allowing 415 total yards per game. They've also allowed the most points, 96, and rushing yards per game, 149, in the first three games in Baltimore history, along with having the second fewest sacks. They have just 3. This is historic for Baltimore. This has not happened before. Kansas City's run game notes, well, it's about Patrick Mahomes, which is problematic. Since Patrick is leading the team with 125 and no one else has more than 100 rushing yards, we will talk about scrambles. Mahomes has been the NFL's most productive scrambling quarterback. He has a 0.85 EPA per scramble. That's second best in the NFL. And he's scrambling on 12% of his dropbacks. That's the third highest rate. So those two things combine to be the most productive. He also has a league-leading 15 scramble carries, 128 scramble yards, and 10 first downs gained on scramble runs. It is all Mahomes. The Ravens' run defense has faced 8 scrambles that have gained 40 yards and a touchdown this season. They've allowed just 5 yards per scramble rush, though. That's 6 fewest in the NFL. That's down from their 6.7 yards per scramble attempt allowed last season. And in the pass game, the Chiefs have had a different wide receiver leader in receiving yards every week. With the potential return of Xavier Worthy this week, that trend could easily continue. Overall, Kansas City's offense is averaging the fewest points per game, 20, and total yards per game, 315.7, since Mahomes became the starter also in 2018. And their 19 first downs per game is also the fewest in the Mahomes era. As for pressure, George Karlaftis has recorded 15 pressures this season, more than double any other Chiefs defender. No other teammate has registered more than 6. Final score in this one, I have Baltimore winning by 1 point, 24-23. Namdi Madubuike and Kyle Van Noy are not 100%. So this is a big deal. If both of them are out again, this is where you would pick the Chiefs and the score would flip to 24-23 in favor of Kansas City. Finally, let's play one more round of good for 6. 6 stats my model likes to happen in order of least to most Risky. Number one, James Cook to score a touchdown against the Saints in Buffalo. Number two, Nico Collins to score a touchdown against the Titans at home in Houston. Number three, Bijan Robinson to score a touchdown against the Commanders. Number four, Chuba Hubbard to rush for more than 55 and a half yards against the Patriots. Number five, Tyler Warren to earn more than 55 and a half receiving yards at SoFi Stadium. And number six, a Derrick Henry touchdown. And that's it. That's the show. Thank you so much for hanging out. That is every single week for Sunday Slate Game. Remember the Monday Nighters, they are coming out shortly. Just a thought, if you subscribe, it'll like be in your feed waiting for you. So maybe a like, a subscribe, maybe passing along to a friend could be a way to get the show to grow. We really appreciate all of those efforts. I love hanging out with you. Again, if you want player projections that I didn't mention here, you can go to numbersgame, numbersga.me, so that you can get all of the player projections. They're updated every Wednesday. And, you know, just one more request to, you know, subscribe, like, you can go get it in podcast format anywhere you like to get your pods so you never miss a number. And last but not least, enjoy the football.